I'm on the road. I'm on the road. To recovery, step by step.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. We're going to have Spencer come up and do our alcoholic joke.
Hey, I'm Spencer, an alcoholic joke teller.
Hey, Spencer.
And this is Take Me to Your Sponsor, best jokes and cartoons that they can find in AA Grapevine. Words that are difficult to say when you're drunk. Number one, innovative. Two, preliminary. Three, proliferation. Four, cinnamon. Words that are very difficult to say when you're drunk. Specificity? Okay. Two, anti-constitutionality. Three, passive-aggressive disorder. Four, transubstantiate. Words that are downright impossible to say when I'm drunk. No thanks, I'm married. Nope, no more booze for me. Sorry, you're not really my type. No thanks, I'm not hungry. Five, I'm not interested in fighting you. Six, thank you, but I won't make any attempt to dance. I have no coordination. I would hate to make myself look like a fool. And seven, oh no, I must be going home now. I have work in the morning.
Finally, a funny one. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is James.
Hi, James.
Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise or might or will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the study tonight. If everyone's ready, we're going to start the meditation and bring in the monks.
Thank you.
going to say the fog light prayer. If you don't know it, it's up on the screen or they're on the yellow placards that are behind the chairs. God.
Let your love shine through me like a fog light through those who are lost, sick, and dying. And find your
There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I've asked Lori to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is. Please welcome up Lori.
Thank you, James. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is One Day at a Time that meets every Wednesday night in Miramar, and my name is Lori. And this is a spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in the book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery. But these are indispensable. There is a proof which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all, there's a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lori. Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so turn your phone off or put it on silent. We have Paulette here for her eighth session, I believe. She's amazing, so please welcome up Paulette.
Goodness. Where's James?
Wow, breaking us.
It took 8 weeks for me to break the seal. I am recovered. Thank you. Hello, my fellow travelers. Hello. So nice to be with you tonight. Yeah, it is. Just sharing with someone that it's nice to be with my tribe. Some we were talking about how was our day. And today was a day. And then I thought about you and how wonderful it is to have you at the end of my day. And how so many people don't have what we have. And it changed my attitude. And I look forward to it. And Lori talked about having the spiritual experience about revolutionary change. Talks about attitude. And it really is. Sometimes it seems very difficult, but it really is. If I start to think about what I have as opposed to what I don't have, changes it. So I'm so grateful to be here tonight with you. And yes, it is. We are on the eighth step. Time flies while we're having fun. Let me start with my set-aside prayer that gives me, get me into that groove. Am I in?
You're fine.
Oh, okay. When I see you walk in close to the stage, I think we are in trouble. Oh. Set aside prayer. My gift from one of my sponsors, Dorothy H. Dear God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself. This book, my disease, these steps, and especially about you, dear God, so that I may find an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me to see the truth. Thank you so much for your indulgence. I am an alcoholic, and I am a member of the One Day at a Time group of Alcoholics Anonymous located in Miramar. My home group meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. I am sponsored, and I sponsor. To me, it's the difference between work and working. I do have a sober date, and my sober date is January 28, 1995, and my name is Paulette. Hello, my fellow travelers. Thank you. You did it? Okay. Didn't say anything. Step eight. We have to read it. Or we are, if you are like me, you like to stick words in there and con ourselves in believing that if a word goes in there or two, will make it easier for us to do it. A lie. It's called delusions, forms of insanity. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. There's two main things in there that Bill's asking me to do. I need to make a list, and I need to become willing. And then there's another part of that that turns it into three. Made amends. So there's three pieces to eight. So eight isn't an easy thing for me to do. It really isn't, because it's not an ordinary list. This list is about some serious stuff, spiritual in nature, emotional. It's about the things that my thinking led to actions that allowed me to harm people. And so it isn't an ordinary list. It's a very special kind of list. And then it says the word all. It means I can't pick and choose who I want to, who I think I did some harm to, or if I want to chicken out of it, find ways to pick apart that person because I don't want to put them on that list. It says all. It's the reason for it. And then it talks about willing. And I want to start with that word willing because I found it to be instructional when 8, because I approached willing back in 6, the 6th step. This is another reason why I cannot work the step cafeteria style, because if I pick and choose what I want to do, then when I get to 8, I won't know what kind of willing he's asking me to have. And for me, this is serious stuff, because here I am, 8 steps, step 8 and 9. And as you know, if you have followed me over the years, as I break down the steps, I don't do them together. That's just a personal choice for me. I think I like to pick them apart so that I have a full understanding of what each step means, so that when I practice the steps working them, after a while I came to 8 and 9 together because I've had years of practice. But when I do step study, it really helps me to break it apart because there's so many things that I learn, and I have to remain teachable. Because if I don't remain teachable, I am apt to have what I call a mental and spiritual relapse. And I start to get I know it all syndrome. You know that syndrome, wherein you know it all, nothing gets in. And what happens is that I shut my mind and therefore my spirit all off from the God of my own understanding and from you. And today I'm trying to live in the world in harmony. And that begins with being open-minded. So I need to be open. And so willingness was in 6 when he says, we're entirely ready. And he's talking about that same thing, but it takes it to a little bit notch. For me, Bill Wilson is a little sneaky bastard. He doesn't tell me that he's going to take this up a notch, because he knows me very well. He tells me that it's going to be fun if you do it this way. Start here. So you get involved in 6, and I told you about, I recognize all of my defects. I use the soup analogy, and every time I see scum on top of my soup, I know, I want this. I need to get rid of this. What do I need to do? 7 comes in play. But when it comes to 8, it's a different animal for me. Because this is about you. It's now I've got to look at you. I've got to see what I did to you. Now it's your turn on my paper. And I've got to see the things I did in black and white. And I tell you this, I left my phone at home. I'm not one of those techie people that have my phone chained to me, and if I lose it, I cry. I couldn't care less. Because I'm in an AA meeting. My phone isn't going to help me. And I'm with 2 fellow travelers who have their phones. And today I can call 911 and not be scared that I'm going to be arrested. I am a productive citizen. Today I pay my taxes. When you live right, you never have to fear. You don't have to fear anything. Fear will come. Some of those fears that comes are healthy. They warn you. They alert you when you're crossing over in what I call the God line. Those are healthy fears. But I don't have a lot of irrational fears because of this way of living. It takes practice. And 8-step is one of those, because one of the things that 8-step tells me is I got to look at the harms I've done so I don't have to fear you anymore. And now it's about you. It is also about me, because one of the things that I've learned when I look at my list, and I am going to get into it because that's what's speaking to me tonight. I got a text from my son. I have a son who's 40 years old. He's my only child. He lives in Bronx, New York. When I get on his nerve, I'm known as mother. And when I am the love of his life, I'm ma. And he wrote me a nice text 2 days ago. He listens to all kinds of music. He got that from me and his father. There's a country song that is out from one of, it's a collaboration. And my son sent it to me. And he sent it to me because it's about addiction. One of the artists is called Jelly Roll. And it's a new song out. And it is about addiction. And my son sent it to me. And he said, and then he wrote this. And he said, Ma, I listened to this song. And I was, it is sad. But now I understand. And I so appreciated so many things that you kept hidden from me when you were in your addiction. He said, Ma, I love you. I thank you. That's what my son sent to me 2 days ago, because he listened to this song, talked about addiction, and he thought about what I went through that he didn't know, that I didn't tell him, that I hid from him. And he could relate to that in his own mother by listening to a song, and took the time out of his day to write me that text. You can't tell me that living this way of life doesn't work. You just don't know. You just have to keep doing the things. Because he's 40, he doesn't have time for me, but yet he could relate because it took him back. When he was, I got sober when he was 10. 10 and a half, I think. So it was one of those moments which brought 8-Step right home to where I needed to see it. And that's why I wanted to talk about that willing and how that willing from 6. Actually, the willingness comes in from 3 for 8. That's another reason why I can't pick and choose what step to work on. Because step talks about made a decision. I made a decision. In 8, this decision is now working, optimized to the fullest. Because this is the decision that I'm going to be turning my thinking, which is my will, my thinking, and my life, which is the sum total of my thinking, into action. And this action is in 8, that it's going to be full force. Now, I'm not doing anything per se, more than making a list, which is an action. But it is very tricky with this list. Because remember now, I know who's going to be on it. Because I've already done my 4th, and I did a 5th, and I improve upon the truth by sharing it with another person who has no stake in my emotional well-being. That means none of it, whatever I'm telling them is none of their business. So they're going to give me an objective view of it. So I know some of the things that were irrational didn't make it to my 8. By the way, if you threw away your 4th step, God help you. Because you're going to need it for reference. It's tracking your progress. You know, and so I knew what was coming over. My son was on that. And his dad was on that. And most of the immediate part of my family was that. Because I was mad at everybody and everything. You know, American Express was on there. The justice system was on there. I was mad at the church. Oh, my God. I was mad at God. It was on there, you know. So I knew what was came over because I reviewed it with another human being. But this 8-step is important because there are certain people that I didn't want to go back and rehash things with. Bill talks about it in the 12 and 12. He says, it seems like a purposeless piece of surgery. He's got a way with words, that alcoholic man. Because surgery is something serious. So you don't want to have that just because you feel like it. He's trying to tell you there's a purpose to this surgery. You got to open up that wound, because inside of that wound is infected. And it's infected with most of the time with some fear. Now, in seven, when seven talks about shortcomings, remember, if I want to have more courage, I got to have less of fear. You know, so it's a balanced scale that I'm working with. Balance. Can't do it by myself. I need a power greater than myself to do this. So if I have a lot of resentment, then I'm off balance. So eight is going to help me to get this balance a lot more in check. So when he's talking about this, he says, now, third step, remember, third step, keystone. It's that last stone that locks everything in place. And through that keystone, I will walk to freedom. So eight and nine becomes my last action step to freedom through that third step. So every time I am building through working through four and five and six and seven and eight, these are the last two action steps that I will be free. So I know that this is hope from two that has now come to fruition. It is real. My life is real. Now, how is your house coming along, by the way? I hope you recognize that you're building a house as you keep working this. Is it termite free yet? Or do you have to call in the exterminator? Because this is one of the things that I'm learning now. When eight talks about it, he says, if I have a lot of resentment when I'm looking at the list, then I am off balance. I don't have enough love, tolerance for others. And boy, do that fit me to a T. Another thing that eight will allow me to do is provide me with forgiveness of myself. One of my drawbacks that will not free me if I don't seriously work on it in eight is that it's so difficult for me to forgive me. What is it that makes an alcoholic think that they're unforgivable? What is it? It dogs me. And I still struggle at times with this. And eight is one of the most freeing steps in that area to forgive me. Because if the God of my understanding can forgive me, who am I not to forgive me? And the next thing is, who am I not to forgive you? I have done so much harm to other people. I said it as I was talking about, shared about my experience with fourth step with my son. One of the reasons why my son has taken his time, which suits me just fine, by the way, taken his time to find a partner and settle down and give me grandchildren is because of me. I was the first woman that he has ever known. I set the standard. Can you imagine an alcoholic setting the standard? Yeah, I know. God help us. But I was it. Now, he has two sides. He saw when I was in my cups, and now he saw me as a recovered alcoholic, a mother. He has two sides. So he has a lot of material to work with. So whatever choice he makes, he now knows what to do because he has the demonstration of what a woman should do and look like. So so this way of life does give us a chance to balance the sheet. Because I know it is an inventory, but it's a balance sheet. For all of you accountants in the room tonight, you know what a balance sheet should look like. You can't just rob from Peter and pay Paul. You've got to do it right. So eight says to you, here's what. You're going to have to open up some old corners. Those little festy little things that you have in, when you step on them, you get a little pain. pangs, Bill call them. Ah, something is wrong there. Why do I feel this way when I see this person? What's going on? What the hell did I do to them that I can't remember? He says he calls it purposefully forgetting. Yeah, that's what Bill calls it, because I want to forget about you. Damn it, I don't want to think about what I did to you. But Jesus, every time I see you, pain just boom and hit me in my heart. I'm like, shoot, so I got to deal with this thing, because it's enough. It's objectionable to my spirit. It is preventing me from walking through that arch of freedom. And so I have to deal with it. So 8 says I must. So what it is that he says now I got to do, I have to become eager and ready and prepared. That's what willing is. In the spiritual realm. Stay ready, stay eager, and be prepared. How will I become prepared? I have transported from the fourth step all the people who I have harmed. What does that look like, you say? Because sometimes we want to play like, I really don't think I harm anybody but myself. Have you heard that in a meeting? And every time I hear it in a meeting, I said, that's a person without a sponsor, a big book, and all they do is make a meeting. Because nobody in this room or any AA room, and I can say that in a general way, that we have done only harm to ourselves. That is a delusion. It's called a form of insanity. We did not drink in silo. Even when I drank at home, which was seldom, because I like to be out. That's part of my disease. My disease says get out. And I get out. You know, that's why I like that movie. I like scary movies and psychological thrillers. I wonder why. And and there's a movie like called Get Out. Yeah, that's my disease. Get out. That's what it is. It just said, get out, Pauline. And I go without having a destination in place. You know, I guess you had that kind of disease too. Well, he says there is some things that I need to do. So let's get into 8, because here is what this is. It's called change. Change is the name of the game. And the last piece of change in my personality, I have to deal with you guys. This is the last piece. Because then after this, now I go out into the world. So I've got to see these little things that have been bothering me all along. So he says to me, I need to look at it. So he says, what do I need to do? And I wanted to read this because he says, because it's a freeing feeling when you can make this list and not fear anything on it. And time again, I've gone over 8-step lift because I'm living this. So I don't always have all of the people that are things or institutions that needs to be on there. But as I am living, something happens to me along the way and pops up. And I said, ooh, I've got a memory. Oh. And so what I do is I can, because I've had practice over the years and continue to practice it, I can put it where it needs to go. Because I know the disease I have, my fellow traveler. I have a disease that will allow me to let things fester and grow. I can't afford it. I cannot afford it. I need to have peace of mind. I need to have that kind of serenity that the book, the steps, and living this way of life promised me. I have had moments of it. I have had many moments of it, and I am an alcoholic. I want more. And so I keep doing it. So 8 says, here's what I need to do. And he talks about it when he says, first of all, I need to tell you something. When he says to me, make this list, the list is going to look something like this. If you make a list, if those of you who have done it will know it. You're going to have 4 columns, specialized columns. It's going to be listing them from A, B, C, D. 1, 2, 3, whichever you choose. what your first column in the 8 step should look like, what mine looks like. People I had harmed from top to bottom. If you didn't do a 4 step, you can't get an 8 because you're going to make shit up. And if you make shit up, you're in deep shit. Because you're going to be doing things that you are going to end up chasing your own tail. So what I'm saying to you is keep your 4th step because you're going to need it as a reference. And then on the 2nd step, it says, now, what did I do to harm them? And this is the part about purposefully forgetting. It's depending on the name, I can purposely forget what I did. But let that person did me wrong. 20 years ago, I can tell you the details. I don't forget because you did me wrong. But what the inventory taking in forth and talking about it with other people, I can realize, I can see clearly, I am aware that somewhere along the line, I had stepped on your toes and I had hurt you so you could hurt me back. So it's easy when I can see the connect the dots, because then I can easily see why I need to forgive you. Bill says, why shouldn't I forgive you? He says, I think he calls us a toss kettle or a toss pot, calling the kettle black. Like, who are you not to forgive? Look what you have done. But you can connect the dots. Somewhere along the line, I did something to you that allowed and harmed you, that later on in life, you used that and harmed me. So I set the ball a rolling. So get over it and start forgiving, because it's about freedom. And if you keep freedom in mind, forgiveness is very, very close by. Because the freedom I'm talking about, you can't buy it. You got to work for it. And so when he tells me that, what did I do? I need to be honest. It needs to match. It needs to be honest. It needs to be the truth. It cannot be fudged if you want what this is offering you. This is about justice. 8-step principle is about justice. Some people call it brotherly love, but I like the word justice because it comes with a weight. It's right. And so the third one is talking about who else? Self. Because it's always about selfishness and self-centeredness. Which part of self was affected when I caused the harm? Was I trying to grow my ambition at the expense of somebody else's? Did I lie, cheat my way through life so I could have all the successes that I want? Did I want to be the big shot by stepping on somebody else's or a whole bunch of people to achieve the success so I can be seen and be all that I think I should be? There's a lot of harm in that. Some people, did I do character assassination so that I could be looked upon and valued? Because I am one of those alcoholics who likes attention. I'm an attention seeker. I told you part of my story. I danced on tables in bars and I didn't get paid for it. It's an attention seeker if I ever know one. So which part of myself was affected that caused me to harm you? First of all, I was resentful at being a mother. I didn't want to be pregnant because pregnancy interfered with my drinking. Right there and then, I had a resentment against my unborn son. The son who wrote me 2 days ago of how much he loved me. This is the kind of alcoholic that stands before you. Who am I not to forgive? Who am I? And so he talks about it. He says, Was it my social instincts that was affected? He says, was it my security instincts that was affected? Was it my sex instincts that was affected? He's asking me which part of self was affected that allowed me to harm you. And then he says, was it my ambition, which was a big part of my harming people? Something was threatening my way of life, so I cannot get ahead in life. I blamed you. It wasn't my drinking. It wasn't my defects of character. It was you. Because if you just stayed out of my way, I would be the most successful human being that walked on planet Earth. How dare you decide that I need to come to work at 9 when I could come to work at 11 and get it done in an hour? Who died and made you have God? You know, you just need to stop interfering in my life so I can be the best that I can be. I have blamed people for every single thing that's wrong, because I was afraid to take responsibility. 8 is also about taking responsibility by listing the names and connecting the dots. It sets me up for 9, which is a big part of being responsible. And so when I tell you this, it says, now I know why. Because of my selfishness, my dishonesty, my fearfulness or frightened that something that I should have or something that I have is going to be taken away from me. Or I'm very inconsiderate about your feelings. I couldn't care less. That's a desolate or a barren human being to live like that. And I lived like that for many, many years. Taking your emotions, taking your love, taking anything that I can get from you so I could continue to live as I see fit, grounded into selfishness and self-centeredness. 8 says list it and be very, very, very clear about it. Take a look at how sick you are, because you're about to do something with this. And this is why 8 is so important to me. It took me a very long time to start to slowly ease my way into forgiving me. I could easily forgive all the folks on my list, but it took a while. And it's not about the 8 really, I think, one of the biggest gifts in doing the list in 8. And I spend a lot of time on it tonight because it is so important to me now. Because it is the forgiveness of self in 8 is really, really difficult when we start, because it's painful to see yourself in black and white and what the harm I did to human beings. And you profess love with your mouth, but yet you do something else with your actions. You know, and that's one of the things. So when I list that, now, don't forget now, my personality is always a before I got to the 6, 7, 8 personality, my personality is always the self. Everything I'm doing outside is for self. Well, this is starting to change. Because I am starting to practice what these steps 6, 7, 8 is about. What I'm going forward for and looking forward is the ideal of personality. And that ideal personality, according to my understanding of what I'm reading from the book, is the God of my own understanding in the middle. No longer self. Self has been eased out. I am not doing anything for self. If I get any benefit from it, it's a byproduct. I'm not living for me. I'm living for you. For the God of my understanding, who I choose to call God today. So my personality is slowly being remade. My sponsor, Dorothy H., who passed away, used to call it Michelangelo chipping away the marble to create this wonderful image and structure. And every time I do these steps with you, something else is being chipped away. The rough edges, the uneven parts, to become smooth. Eight is the beginning of that for me. Because now I can realize and embrace who I really am. And see underneath all of that, those the festering, the ugliness that is clouding the personality, the person who I was created to be. And so he says, you need to look at it. And then he says, talks to me about it, because now he says, now I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be prepared. And harm. I know what harm means, because I've caused people to hurt in pain, emotional and spiritual, by the way. That's also part of the harms. And I'm going to have to do this and prepare for it. Now, he always talks about, and this is the way I was taught to do it, and that's according to the book, too. You can please categorize it. Don't be like me in the first time, want to shove everything on the thing, and no, I couldn't do it all. I found that with a good sponsor and the book, don't leave the book out of it, categorizing my harms in my list was beneficial for me. It killed a lot of my anxiety. It made me more open to allow forgiveness to seep in a lot more faster, because there were some people on the list that I knew when I put them on the list that I would do them now. Wasn't a big deal. It was a big deal, but it wasn't a big deal because I knew those people would be open. There's some people on my list that I said, God, never. And that wasn't supposed to be, but it did. I put them there. I was instructed. And there were some that was later. And then there were some that were maybes. It was very helpful. Because I tell you this. I told you about how I did a fourth and fifth with Father Andrew at Catholic Church. It's through eight that I was able to see the benefits of the church. If I couldn't have done eight and put the church on my list and saw the harms that I was doing, I could not be open to what I did in COVID with Father Andrew. This is one of the freedom that this gives you, to just to be honest about the list. You're not doing anything yet, but you're getting ready. A state of readiness and preparedness so that you are armed with all the facts about who you are, Paulette. That you are no better than. You're a human being who have done some harms, and you need to be ready to name those harms, who you did it to, and be ready that when it happens, because one of the things about eight, when you do it the way he says it, is that you don't determine when it's going to happen. Spoiler alert. That's the state that he's talking about. When you're in that state, the situation comes. That's how nine works for me. When you do it the way he said, that's why you have to be ready. And so with that in mind, it teaches me how not to react and go crazy, because it's natural for me to go crazy. He says, what I need to do is, I need to become willing to be freed from guilt and remorse. Two of the biggest thing an alcoholic woman like me always carried around. It was so heavy that I was 20 pounds overweight because of it. I had a lot of guilt and I had a lot of remorse. I carried them well. I was about to drown in them. Eight allows me to put them on paper. And say, he says, I have to be sure and get to the point across that I am doing this for me and not for the benefit that it may bring to you, the person that I'm making the amends for. Freedom. And then he says, I am trying still. to remove the things that block me from the God of my understanding. Innate. And this started from 4. So you see, there's another reason why I can't do this cafeteria style. Because these are connected. I'm doing this still to try. He says, I am not considering what they may do for me or for others. That's not my purpose. There's a purpose to this. It's for a bigger purpose. I can't serve the God of my understanding. I can't serve you if I'm walking around with guilt and remorse. Service to others requires that I have to tend to see what I did to you first. And 8 allows me to do it. And so he says, when I have to do it, it says, I need to make sure that I am doing this the way it's laid out. Don't get tripped up on trying to rush through this. This is a lifetime process. It has been for me. And I'm grateful for the time, the patience, and the love that this gives me. Because believe it or not, step 8 is a loving step. It really is. It starts out being fearful, but when you get into it and follow the direction as I have lovingly and patiently done so with guidance, I have found that it is loving and nurturing. It allows me to heal some brokenness that's still in me. Because at the time is wonderful to have in recovery. Don't get me wrong. But the qualitative content of my sobriety is a lot more important. A lot more important. And 8 gives me to find a snag in the rug. Pull it up. Not just sweep the dust under the rug anymore. If it was a drunk like me, that's how I cleaned. Sweep the dust under the rug. Nobody is going to look under there. 8 says, lift up the rug. Get the dust out. Put the dust to show. Look at the things you've done to other people. And see if you can be able to start to move forward to freedom. So I want to tell you, as I said tonight, it's a process. And it's a lot about getting out of myself. It's the killing of self-centeredness so that a God consciousness can come in where I start to care about you guys. It's the beginning of agape love for this alcoholic, where I start to practice justice. The things that I wish for myself, I wish so wonderfully for you. I can't do it if I don't get rid of these handicaps. And since 8 says, list them, take a deeper look at them, open them up, and list them carefully, because it is an inventory that will keep you freedom, peace, harmony, a wonderful peace that money can't buy. And so I thank you. And there's a reason why I am quieter tonight, because 8 does that to me. It allows me to be quiet in my spirit, in my tone, in my manner. Because it's such a reverence to what this step frees you from. So if you haven't gotten there yet, don't rush, but get to it. It is important. Thank you.
Thank you, Paulette. Let's thank Paulette one more time. Oh, that was great. And we're going to have Brandon come up and do the secretary's report.
Hi, my name is Brandon, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the 7th tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. We also have QR codes on the chair backs in case you don't have any cash. And then I've asked Kelly to come up and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic.
I'm a recovered alcoholic named Kelly. Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. recovered but not cured, that presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime, but we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body, page 23. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
...1940-style Big Book sponsorship from the forward to the second edition. Alcoholics Anonymous of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried. 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, came to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. If anyone is needing a sponsor, please raise your hand. No? And then can the recovered alcoholics raise their hand? Awesome. If your hand was not raised, we suggest that you hang out with those whom were. And then screen announcements. Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our Where and When and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Next. And then Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get to an AA meeting, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Do we have any members of BCIC out here tonight? Oh, we have one. Okay. Please stand so people can... Oh, never mind. Okay. There we go. Next, we have some upcoming service opportunities. We are humbly requesting donations for the 60th Appreciation Banquet. This is the last week to do it, I think. Next, and then telephone relay, the third Friday of every month from 5 to 8. You can ask Mike Chase about that in the back. We have Paulette till May 2nd. She's killed it. And then after that, we have Marion doing two steps a week for 6 weeks. And then... And, of course, here's our home group's Monday night's Big Book Study Workshop, where the Big Book comes alive. Join us for fellowship at 6:30, and the workshop starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, the Little Red Book, and the Big Book Dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Thursday at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bell. See you next week.
We have tonight's session and all past speaker podcasts at alcoholicsandgod.org. There's little QR codes on the back table if you want to scan for it to go to Apple Podcasts. Again, we'd like to invite people to Monday Night Big Book Study. It's in this room on Mondays at 7:15. And to those who would like to thank Paulette, please line up down the center aisle. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer seated. And it'll be up on the screen if you don't know it.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thirsty bodies aching. I am desperately in need of restoration. Yeah, and I am ready for you to take me higher. Yeah, the only thing that I can do. Try, but with you, I become.
addiction. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all.
this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Shine a light.
Sucking these feet has fallen so good. And I work these hands right down to the bone. I work these hands right down to the bone. I've worked so hard for someone I don't know. I watch these walls be bought and sold, so low.
Thank you very much, first day.